This is one piece of a set of bodybuilding equipment. It's designed to strengthen the upper torso, the biceps, the triceps, and the core muscles. And it's used like this. Now, no serious bodybuilder would use this extensively without a trainer, one who stands alongside, one who encourages and directs its use. The wrong handling of this piece of equipment can bring the opposite results from that which is intended. For the novice bodybuilder, the proper use of this will require discipline, hard work, and a certain amount of suffering and exertion as one begins to lose fat and gain muscle. If I suffer through the beginning stages of building up my physical body, I develop endurance. That is, I can tolerate longer and harder sessions. And the more endurance I have, the more character or finely sculpted my body becomes. And that leads to the hope or the assurance that I will become muscular and fit. I need bodybuilding equipment like this if I'm going to develop my physical body and keep it healthy and strong. Likewise, I need spiritual bodybuilding equipment that the Lord sends our way or allows to come into our life to build up my spiritual body and keep it strong and healthy. The Lord shapes us for His own purposes by stretching us and developing spiritual muscle in us, and by sending our way pieces of spiritual bodybuilding equipment at the right time in our lives to accomplish this. Just like building our physical body takes discipline, hard work, exertion, and a certain amount of suffering, likewise, so does building up muscle in our spiritual body. We have a trainer in the person of the Holy Spirit who stands alongside us, encouraging, directing, and sustaining us as we use His equipment to build up our spiritual body. Without His power and strength, we cannot develop properly and be fit to use our spiritual muscles to live out God's purposes in our lives, which is, by scriptural definition, to live a holy life, well-pleasing in His sight. In Leviticus 19, the Lord encourages His people, "Be holy as I am holy." And Jesus in Matthew 5:48 states it this way: "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And holiness is to reflect in action the very heart of God's character. Or to put it another way, to show the very essence of God in action. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Roman church, gives us one of the many pieces of spiritual bodybuilding equipment that God supplies to build our muscle in our spiritual body. Perhaps in the future we can explore and learn to use other equipment that God supplies. In the meantime, let's draw our chairs up closer to the Apostle and eavesdrop on his conversation and instruction to the Roman church in chapter 5, verses 1-5. And I quote, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of glory. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. Character produces hope, and that hope does not disappoint, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." End quote. Now, the apostle has spent about a quarter, the first quarter of his letter, defining the human condition, God's reaction to it, and his remedy for it, and has concluded that we are justified or made right with God by the faith that God imparts to us. And now he begins to expound on the practical results of that faith. Verse 1 states, "Since we have been justified by faith." And what follows after that are four definitive statements that are the results of having been, past tense, having been justified by faith. First definitive statement, we have peace with God. It's the first blessing or result of justification. And it is possible only because it is through our Lord Jesus Christ that we have peace with God. It is he who was both delivered up to death for us and raised up to death from death to life for us by the power of God. And this peace is ours now in the present as well as the future. And this peace is not just the absence of war between the Lord and us, but it is the shalom of God, the peace of God, rest and peace in life and in death. Second statement, we are, present tense, we are standing in grace. We are anchored, people. We are anchored, fixed and immovable in grace. That is to say, always in the sphere of God's constant love and forgiveness. We have the privileged position of constant acceptance by God, or as the apostle expresses it further on in his letter, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Third statement, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. The NIV reads, we rejoice, which is not really the best translation. The word means to boast or to exult in. Now, we have to be careful here, because boasting or bragging about our accomplishments, our salvation, is not a Christian virtue according to Scripture. But the Apostle Paul here calls us to a humble boast. That is to recognize that there is a divine purpose for our hope in the glory of God, and that we are to live in dependence upon God and his dependability. We are to have hope And hope is defined as having a joyful and confident expectation of good, which rests on the promises of God. Hope, a joyful and confident expectation of good, which rests on the promises of God. And that humble boast would also include to know the reality of our salvation and to know that we will see and partake of the glory of God. Fourth statement. But not only so, but we also boast in our suffering. Now here the apostle discloses to us that not only do we humbly boast in our hope of the glory of God, but we're also to humbly boast in our suffering, or better translated, tribulation. Now this is the piece of spiritual bodybuilding equipment that God allows to come into our life to toughen us, to stretch us, to develop spiritual muscle. It's tribulation or suffering. It's at this point that a lot of us, including me, would step back and say, wait a minute. Why should we humbly boast in our suffering or tribulation if it brings so much pain? Why should I accept suffering in the first place? And how in the world do I accept it? The apostle now gives us three reasons why we should, and he traces the progression of what tribulation or suffering accomplishes in us, and the result of tribulation building up and strengthening our spiritual body muscle. The word translated tribulation or suffering means intense pressure, akin to an olive press squeezing out the last drop of olive oil. And anyone who experiences suffering of any kind knows that kind of pressure. The suffering or tribulation referred to here can be physical, mental, or emotional, or a combination of all three. But more precisely than that, it refers to suffering caused by persecution because of faith in Jesus the Christ. Now, he himself said our lives will experience persecution, as our gospel reading today pointed out. Now, the experience of Paul and Silas in Acts 16 shows us the importance of allowing suffering to build spiritual muscle into our lives. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were arrested by the authorities in Philippi. And both of them were beaten with rods which would have opened up flesh wounds. And the Romans weren't nice people. They didn't say, gee, we kind of beat you here, but we will bandage up your wounds. No. They took them battered and bruised and beaten and threw them into the inner prison where there was no daylight. And then they fastened them in heavy wooden stocks so that it was difficult and painful to sit or eat, and impossible to lie down. Now, what was their attitude and action? Well on into the night, they began to pray and to sing hymns to God. Now, there's spiritual muscle. Paul had already experienced intense suffering, Acts 14 tells us he was stoned and left for dead. And being stoned wasn't having little pebbles thrown at you. There's stuff about the size of my fist. And they threw them and threw them until there was no movement left. And then they left them. And Paul had his perseverance strengthened by that example. There was no whining about their condition in the prison. No, they were made of sterner stuff. Recognizing that the Lord was with them in this, they sang and prayed. In other words, they worshiped. And as I read that account, I began to wonder, do I have that kind of spiritual muscle to do the same thing? A little closer to our own age is another example of spiritual muscle enabling us to humbly boast in our tribulation. It is October the 16th, 1555, when Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley, two devout Protestant leaders, were being burned at the stake by their persecutors. Reported by onlookers, Latimer said to Ridley, as the flames began to burn them, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." "Now hold on just a minute, and let's back the truck up." These two men were about to experience a horrible death. And one says to the other, "Be of good comfort." Now that's spiritual muscle for you. Because they had experienced persecution and suffered for almost 2 years, they had endurance to suffer this. And they knew that there was divine purpose in their suffering and tribulation. And again, as I reflected on the story and the story of many other martyrs, I said to myself, do I have that kind of spiritual muscle? And I begin to doubt that I have. In the latter half of verse 3 in Romans 5, the apostle gives us three reasons for humble boasting in our tribulations. The first reason is that suffering and tribulation is the only path to glory. Later in the letter, he avers, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're God's children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we also may share in his glory." This intense pressure of tribulation is described by the Apostle Paul as our momentary light affliction. There's a bit of irony there. To suffer intensely pain in this life, and not only that, but to experience pain over persecution, in our minds, is not a momentary light affliction. But it enables us to bear the weight of eternal glory. Second reason, our tribulation leads to maturity. Or to state it another way, it leads to a well-muscled spiritual body, able to handle pressure. Tribulation produces or accomplishes perseverance, which can be translated as endurance or patience, patience with circumstance. We're able to stand our ground, to be steadfast and unmovable, as we have spiritual muscle built up. And perseverance produces mature character, having been tested and approved of by God in the fire of affliction. It has often been said that people know us by our reputation, but God knows us by our character. The word translated character here refers to the process of being refined like gold by having the impurities removed by fire. God sends us the equipment of tribulation or suffering to cleanse us of the impurities and build up mature character. The Apostle James assures us, "Blessed is the person who perseveres under trial, for once they have been approved, they will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." We are assured of God's love. Mature character produces hope. And once again, that hope is defined a confident expectation of something good, a joyful, confident expectation of something good. And hope does not disappoint because, as Paul phrases it, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. God, in his everlasting love of his children, has not left us alone to cope. We're not bereft of help. We have the encouragement, the power, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Well, may we all have more and more muscle bent into our spiritual lives as we experience suffering and tribulation. And through it all, may we all know the steadfast love of our God. Amen.